Level Up can now be found online at lulpodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter at lulpodcast, as well as subscribe to us on iTunes and Google Play under Level Up Language. Support for Level Up comes from Davis School District and Clearfield High School. We hope you enjoy, and thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us for today's episode of Level Up. Our previous few episodes have focused on the Actful Proficiency Guidelines that we use in our instruction, as well as some engagement strategies. Today we will focus on building a strong world language program in your school by interviewing teachers from other high-performing departments, giving our perspectives into what has made us a strong department, and looking at an administrator's perspective on hiring and supervising world language teachers and departments. Think about your own departments, things you do well, things you would like to improve on individually and as a team, as we get in to Level Up. Welcome to Level Up. I'm Roger Burt, one of your hosts for today. I am joined by Davin Lemke, Miles Nance, and Brandon Welker. I'd like to begin today's podcast by acknowledging what an amazing team I get to work with every day. As we've grown our department and programs together and taken on some big tasks, such as this podcast, I'm constantly reminded of what a great team we have. Of our team at Clearfield High, I have been here the longest, this being my fifth year, and so I've had the benefit of seeing all of the pieces come together. Some of the things that make us a great department have seemingly happened by chance, while others have been very intentional on our part. Today we will hear from other teachers in the district to get their thoughts on building a strong department. We will also talk to Susie Jensen, former principal of Clearfield High School and current director of human resources for Davis School District, about the process of hiring and directing not just teachers, but the right teachers. Susie also happens to have been the principal who hired each of us. We will begin today's podcast by listening to an interview with Corey Wood and Kelsey Flint, members of the Clearfield High School English Department. We're here with Corey Wood, Clearfield High School English Department Chair Maestro and Yearbook Advisor.
Yeah.
We are also joined by Kelsey Flint, English teacher, former Chinese teacher at Clearfield High School, and the head Chinese teacher for the Davis School District. So the first thing I want to ask you, Corey, maybe I'll start with you being the department chair, is just tell me about your department.
We have a strong department. You know, I've been here for a few years now, and one of the first things I noticed when I first started working was that we steal from each other readily and willingly, and that surprised me. I think coming from a lot of different backgrounds, people are not as willing to share, especially like intellectual property like that, I mean, which is a lot of what we do, right? We're inventing lesson plans as we go all the time, and there's a lot of work that goes into these things. And just the willingness among this group of educators to not just be like shoulders to lean on, but like to literally provide you with templates and provide you with ideas. And I student taught with Julie Muir, who's one of our veteran teachers, and she's awesome. And half of my lesson plans look like hers. Because they, you know, the genesis was from the same document, you know. And you can see those footprints and fingerprints in all of our assignments. I'm sure Kelsey sees the same thing in her stuff.
Yeah, we have a really, I'm on our English 11 PLC, our professional learning community. And we, if think if you'd walk into any one of our classrooms on any given day, we're almost doing the same thing. Part of that is because we work together 3-4 times this summer to plan our entire year. I love that we share everything, and it's so nice to be able to work together. And if something doesn't work, I get emails from them almost daily and like, here's something else I found, or, oh, this doesn't work. Try this. Or, hey, this is a great article to back up this idea. And it's so nice to know that you have these other people's got your back when you don't have what you need.
Yeah. It was funny. I talked with Gwen and Tawny out at Syracuse Junior High. And we were talking about that same idea of sharing and collaborating. And I talked about when I did a long-term sub at Legacy Junior High, I was across from Jared Nebaker, Janine Krager, and Glenn Moon. I could see them all out my window. It was just awesome because they would do something and I would see and think, oh, that is so good. That's so smart. In 5 to 10 minutes, I can probably incorporate that same thing. And so then I would do it. And it was funny because one time Janine had something. All of a sudden, the kids' faces were up on the screen. Her overhead projector had like flipped. And I thought she had done something intentional with that. And I thought, I can do that. And then I can have them, like they can label the, you know, their body or their clothing or whatever. Uh-huh. And so I had them do it. And then I went and asked her afterwards, like, where did that come from? That was so cool. And she's like, oh, no, it just flipped over. The kids saw themselves and were freaking out and it like took a picture or whatever. She's like, I had no idea what was going on. I'm like, oh, well, I just used that and it went really, really well. She's like, oh, well, now I have something. So it was really fun to be able to collaborate like that and literally see each other's classes unfolding.
Some of your best lessons kind of come out of like forced improvisation, though, or power outages, or yeah, I've had some good lessons that just come out of need. Usually technology failure, actually.
Yeah.
Knock on wood.
Let's see. Another question I've got for you, and just whoever wants to take it, go ahead. Just wondering what things you've done either intentionally or unintentionally to strengthen the department.
Going back to what I was talking about earlier with our PLCs, I think we were very intentional of who teaches what class. And we put people together that we know work together. Almost everyone works together well in our department, though.
I mean, one of the things I did, you know, speaking of that same point, is I put a lot of our strongest teachers with the sophomore, right? I think we should, that's where our focus should be, is making sure that they do not leave sophomore year without a basic ability to formulate their thoughts and write basic argument concepts and back it up with evidence. And anyone who teaches after that is a bozo. No, I'm just kidding. But really, like, we have not just strong teachers, but diverse personalities that hit a lot of different buttons. I mean, I hear all the time, like, oh, Mr. Harris does this, you should do it this way. I'm like, okay, that's great. I won't, but that's awesome, right? Or the same thing with Mr. Handy. And I'm like, you know, I teach the IB kids as juniors. You get them as seniors, Kelsey.
Yep.
And I don't think we even know how many battles Julie Muir, same teacher, has fought with them as his sophomores, so that when they get to us, they're broken and willing and ready to learn, you know, because those are the sophomore battles. You have to fight those. You have to keep them not just progressing academically, but you have to kind of break them a little bit too. And then they turn into juniors and they're a lot easier.
And I think also, I don't think we've intentionally done this by any means, but we are connected in each other's lives outside of school as well. Yeah. We text each other. We, you know, share successes. We share sorrows. Well, and coming from our world languages department here, I guess I've been able to see both worlds since I used to be part of this department. But we do the same thing in world. I still say I'm part of world languages, but
once you're in the family, you're
once you're
in the family,
yeah. I mean, we do that, right? We get together outside of class. We have family, our world languages family activities, and I feel like that's really, I mean, not only made us better friends and better colleagues, it's helped us when we're struggling. We can go to each other. We can improve our teaching through that.
Which reminds me, did you get the invite for the?
Yes, I did.
November? Okay.
Guys, what are you talking about?
I think
you're not in the family,
what's
Corey.
Sorry. You don't speak Chinese, though.
No, but I was going to say the other thing I love about our department is we try to value autonomy, which is only something you can value when your teachers aren't bad, right? So I understand not everyone's in that same situation, but our school, like, we work really hard to hire correct people. We added two awesome teachers this year, Kaylee Snyder and Becky Vervloot, you know, either of whom should have my job, frankly. I mean, like, they're awesome and they love their kids and they invest in them personally, but also they're excellent teachers and they go through things strategically and they also have different approaches to the way they do things. You know, I teach next door to Kaylee and she's a quiet person. And I think someone would observe that on the surface and say, like, oh, how do you teach? Like, what do you do? And if you just spend a second in her room, you see that she takes time to invest in each student personally throughout her class period. She has these interactions with them. And she doesn't have to be this booming, soaring personality going over the tops of the heads of all of her kids. That, like, they just know that she likes them and she wants them to do well. And Becky can be the exact opposite, right? Like, Becky can be loud and she can be funny and hilarious and also go to all of her kids' soccer games and all that. She's, you know. By the way, they're also both really good English teachers. They don't just invest personally. They know their stuff, you know. We've just got a strong department of people who have earned the freedom to work autonomously. And because of that, produce some pretty diverse and interesting products that they can tweak and then share around. It's great stuff.
Yeah. And that kind of leads into a couple different questions. So I'll let you take whatever you want. One was just asking, do you share students at semester, at the end of a year, and what does that mean for your instruction? But then, Corey, you also touched on a question I'm going to ask Susie Jensen about the hiring process and what she looks for as an administrator. But I know, at least when she was here, she would have department chairs come in and be involved with those. So either way, which I don't know what you want to tackle first, when sharing of students and what that means for instruction, or what you look for as a department chair when you're in on hiring interviews.
Okay, so switching students at semester. Normally, you keep most of your kids. Last year, we did have a glitch in our system where I had about, I think I calculated it, it was like 12% of the same students. And that kind of freaked me out, but we got that fixed, thank goodness. But, you know, it's nice to have most of your students the same because you can just carry them out throughout. But with our English 11 team, we have everything planned pretty much the same. Or at least we have the same assessments and the same novels read each term. And we tried to do that as an English 10 team last year as well, where, you know, we're doing these units, finish it by semester. And so you're kind of doing the same things, but it's nice because we are doing similar things. We can build on what each other said. So if I had someone come to me from Mr. Handy's class, I could say, well, I know that you worked on argument writing, so let's add to that and work on this semester. Mm. So it's nice that we can tag team it almost. And we see, Corey and I see that a lot with our IB kids because he breaks them in as juniors, gets them to be really good writers. And then they come to me. I have the easiest job with them. I just get to enjoy them. It's great.
I get to have them create weird and wacky stuff that's full of mistakes. And then senior year, she says, these are mistakes.
I get to do
the weird stuff. Yeah. That's okay. No, I mean, moving around different classes, it affects the seniors a little bit more just because of the nature of seniors, right? A lot of them are ending halfway through the year or they have all their requirements by such and such date and they don't need another English class. So that's a bit of a different animal. Seniors teachers probably get the most move around in between the two semesters. We try to keep it so our sophomore junior classes stay reasonably similar. But again, it's really rare that we have kids moving around because of disciplinary reasons or things like that. All of our teachers are good at handling their own situations, and we don't really worry about anybody.
Yeah.
Except for Kelsey. But no, just kidding. No, as far as hiring the right kinds of teachers, questions and interviews, I'm sure you've been in interviews too with world languages teachers, right? I make sure the administration do a good job of addressing all the behavioral stuff, right? How do you handle this situation, that situation? If I feel like we've got a good feel for that. But the question I asked that I feel like reveals the most about the candidate from an English perspective is, so I try to tell them, you would ideally be teaching blank grade or right 11th grade. And I try to ask them, which part of that curriculum are you most excited to teach? Because I feel like that reveals a lot about their love of literature. Are they doing this job just to check a box? Do they like teaching, but they think Walt Whitman is lame? obviously there's a broad range of responses, and it seems silly, but when you see their faces light up when they talk about, oh, I really love Edgar Allan Poe. I don't know, whatever, right? I love Hamlet. I love that, seeing them not just seeing like, okay, what do I have to teach? But what do I get to teach? I think that's a major distinction. The two people we just hired, Becky and Kaylee, I mean, home run answers on both, for both on that question. They knew exactly what they wanted to teach, and it showed.
So I've sat in on hiring our Chinese teachers here in the district. And I remember the last time we did this, it was just a couple years ago. And one of the biggest questions we asked was, what do you do to collaborate when you're an island? And I feel like as world languages teachers, we feel that a lot of times. I mean, kind of lucky with Spanish, you maybe have one or two other teachers here, but French, German, Chinese, we are somewhat low in islanders. Like maybe it's just us Chinese teachers.
That seems horrible. I can't even imagine just inventing curriculum out of nowhere.
Alone. Yes. I mean, even there's some transfer between Chinese and other languages, but it's hard to be by yourself a lot because there are so many things that are unique to Chinese that don't transfer. That's where we needed to ask our candidates, what do you do in that case? And in this case, the one that we hired talked about, reaching out to other Chinese teachers. And so that's what my job is, and trying to bring us together. But I think that's what we look for when we're hiring. We want people who will collaborate and who won't suffer on their island by themselves.
It sounds dumb, but I always think about, because when we hired Kelsey a million years ago, but it's the same thing we all talked about, when she was hired, oh, she's so great. She could do this if I died, right? Or she could do, which sounds morbid, but when we hire now, that's what I think about. So we're not just hiring someone to fill these classes. What else could this person do? What long-term investment in this building and this school and this group of kids is this teacher going to be?
Yeah.
Not just crap, we need one more sophomore English teacher. It's that long-term, who could be a department head? That's who I try to hire.
And that's one thing I think from the outside looking in is I look around your department and I just think good crud. Anyone in that department would be an amazing department chair. And I feel the exact same with our department. So when Principal Keim came and in a department chair meeting said he likes the idea of rotating that responsibility around. Yeah. I was just like, thank you so much, because everybody has different leadership skills and qualities that they could just totally take the department and run. And I thought that was really cool. Final question, which you guys already touched on, but I'm just curious your thoughts on how important is it to have personal and or professional friendships among the department?
It's overrated. I think you shouldn't really get to know. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. No, I think it's important. You know, I was a one-year in teacher when Kelsey and Anna, one of our friends who's not at home with kids, when they were both hired. I'd like, you know, being able to work as a small team with those two, it gives you kind of a safety net personally, right? You can vent a little bit in an appropriate situation without fear of reprisal. You know, same thing. I mean, I remember when my son Roger was also named Roger. I was born.
Great name.
Yeah. that you know, being able to share that news with all my peers, like Karina and Julie and these people who are really excited to, you know, hear the news. I think that was, you know, that was a big deal for me. I think it makes you feel invested in.
Absolutely. I feel like I've been, so this is my third school I've taught at, and I feel like I've been really lucky at each of these schools that I've been in great departments that do invest in each other's lives in non-weird ways. That sounds weird. I don't know.
What would be an example of a weird way?
You know, I mean, there are some people who do not want to personally put themselves out there, but.
Departmental tattoos.
Yeah. Right. But, I mean, I don't know. I agree. You know, when we've had, I think, you know, we've had kids about the same time to be able to share that joy. Or, you know, on a sad note, our school recently lost one of our greatest teachers. And I think that was hard for a lot of us, but we were able to pull together and help each other grieve. I remember it was just a week or so after Paulette passed away. We got together as our English 11 team, and then we had other people come, and we just had a lunch and here at the school, and we talked about her and we reminisced. And being able to share that grief really helped, I think, in the healing process.
That's good. That's nice.
Just a chance to be bummed out or to be happy together.
I mean we're with each other a lot. You can't have that. I mean, it makes coming to work hard.
I'm certainly guilty of this sometimes, too, that, like, I get so buried in the work. You know, I've got the productivity this year, and, like, you're using all your extra time to get your stuff done and grade papers so you can get home and see your kids, right? And, like, I'm still always going to err on that side, right? But those times where I've, like, stopped into Julie's room or stopped into Jana or Patty's room and just, like, how's it going? And just talk. Like, all right, we're all humans and we're all adults. And, like, I forget that I have peers sometimes because I'm talking to wonderful 17, 18-year-old kids all the time, but who are 17, 18-year-old kids, you know?
Yeah.
And that I think it's really healthy just to maintain those adult relationships.
In a moment, we will discuss our thoughts on Corey and Kelsey's interview. But first, we will listen to an interview conducted on-site at Syracuse Junior High School with Gwen Cannell and Tawny Johnson. So I am here at Syracuse Junior High with Gwen Cannell and Tawny Johnson to talk about the strength of their department.
You know, we've got a great group of people. Great department. We have three Spanish teachers and then Chinese. We have two dual language immersion. We have Chinese and Spanish. So we're on our second year of Chinese and our first year of Spanish. And then our Spanish program runs from Spanish 1 to Spanish 3, and our Chinese is the same, Chinese 1 to 3.
Thank you, Tawny. Gwen, just wondering your thoughts on what makes your department a strong department.
First of all, we believe that you have to have the same methodology in teaching. Tawny and I do things differently, but we still have the same value of how things are presented. The same with Lunji in the Chinese department. And so the comprehensible input is really big, and that we were able to lesson plan when we both used to teach the same level. An administrator could come in the beginning of Tawny's class and see the beginning and then come into my class and see the ending, because we really were teaching the same thing, using a lot of the same methods, but in our own style.
Yeah, I think it's important to have the same goals. We've always had the same goals as our department. We have the goal to reach a certain level of proficiency, and we work together to achieve that. And like Gwen said, we all do things differently, of course, and we each have our strengths, but we're still all working towards the same thing.
And I think the other thing is, too, that we share the workload. I have my certain strengths and the other department members have their certain strengths. And so when we come up with an idea, then Tawny's the creative one, Lonji's the digital computer one, and Sergio, he does the, makes it all available on the computer, and I'm the organizer, file keep track. But we each build on our strengths and help one another. So it's really infused our department with the creativity, the technology, the organization, and the consistency. It really enriches your program. Because just like when first it was just Tawny and I, the way I did things lacked the art, the music, the culture, and she's so creative. Then she infused my program with that, and then I was able to help her with different things. And so I really like that. It gives us a really well-rounded department.
Honestly, when you work together like that, you end up doing less work. Yeah. And so that's a real benefit too, because we don't all have to write stories. I can just write the story and then share it. You know, we don't all have to write a test. Gwen can write the test and we can all share. So it really lessens the workload.
The
PowerPoint and the
presentation and
yeah.
Share it. And the other thing that I think has really made our department and our students so successful is that with working together, then we are able to vertically align. So
right.
We've got first year down really well. It's going, these are the things we do. And then it just, it's a seamless blend into level 2. And we're working on getting that seamless blend into level 3. But it takes time.
Yeah.
It takes time. And even though people come and go in your department, as long as you're unified in really the method, I guess that would be the word, the method in which you believe in teaching, what's essential, what you're going to use, how you're going to use that.
We ask people when we're hiring new people, are you willing to do this? This is how we work, and this is what we want to see, because it is really important, I think, that everyone's doing the same.
Yeah.
The same thing. I mean, it's not the same. It's always different, but the same method.
Right. And that just answered another question. how you incorporate new pieces into the team and the things that you do to keep it going, because, yeah, there's always going to be change.
I've been teaching for 23 years, and the unification that I've had at different schools with different teachers has been good. I had a stronger in California with a French teacher because we had the same values of comprehensible input. But we still would align with the other teachers. One was a really total textbook page by page. The other was a little more interactive. But we had a strong department, the unity, the friendship. Some of the things that we've done is that we would go out to dinner together. I mean, we did social things also to strengthen that friendship. And so Tawny and I have to, and a little bit with Lonji, but friendship is part of it, not just coworkers, but that your friendship. But the strength, I would say, of the department is that you have the same philosophy and the same goal.
Yeah. See, and that's funny, because that was my last question, is how important are personal friendships with coworkers and things like that? Because that's one thing that we try and do.
Well, and I was going to say, the more you collaborate, the closer you can become. I mean, the more you can know, get to know someone, and the more you can become close friends because you work together closely. I mean, we plan, we work together, we talk every day and plan what we're going to do, how it's going to go. And so it becomes easy to become friends, I think, with people that you work so closely with. So I think that's a key, is to really work together towards the same goal, and then it is easy to become friends.
Yeah.
That same thing. When I was a department chair in California, we did it more during our department meeting. We'd have a little bit. Someone would bring something kind of from their country or language and would share to get to know them a little bit better. But at a different school that I was at, we would do, like you said, each kind of quarter, we would do something together.
We've been grateful to have prep time together so that we have time to plan. There have been years where we haven't had common preps. And we still have to plan together. So we have to stay late, come early, plan during lunch, because we still planned to make it work. But it's really vital to have common prep if you want your program to align vertically and horizontally.
And the collaboration.
And if you want your team to collaborate and be close, you have to have time to be able to do that. And so we've been really grateful that we've had
that administrative support.
Yes.
That has given us a common prep. And then like the DLI program has a common prep so that we can plan and coordinate things together. That is huge.
And so I know it's a nightmare for planning and scheduling, but it really does help to have time to plan together. It helps you to have a united department. If you don't ever have a chance to meet, then it's definitely more difficult.
Especially with everyone's lifestyles. If you have young children, you have to get home to this, or if you come early and I stay late.
Right.
So having that common prep
is vital.
And that goes in large part to the only other question I had. I was going to ask, do you share students from year to year, semester to semester, and what does that mean for your instruction?
You know, it was really funny. When we used to both teach Spanish 1, or
we did
even
2 and 3.
Yeah. When we taught the same classes at the semester, kids would move.
Yeah.
And it was always so funny because we would be right with each other, and there would be no problem at all. Kids could move from one class to the other, and we just move on.
And that makes it really nice for administration.
Correct.
And scheduling. Maybe my journal number, we'd start over. We'd start over because maybe she was one ahead of me or I was one ahead of her. But we'd just start in second semester, we'd start number with one again.
And so it didn't matter. And that is really nice when you can just
And the
go
same
like
with
that.
Sergio and I. Our kids, I will get some of his kids, he will get some of mine because of scheduling. But our vertical alignment is great. That now we had an administrator said, instead of both of us having 3 preps, I take level 1, she's got level 2 and 3. Sergio has level 1, but we have a really good vertical alignment that there aren't gaps that I've had in the past in my experience of teaching.
And it is nice. I really can't tell which level 1 kids are coming from which teacher. There's really no way to tell. So that shows that we're very united because I don't know if they're coming from Gwen or from Sergio.
We have a very strong department proficiency-based placement. So upon our recommendation, those who are not proficient and ready to move on to level 2, we have our level 1 is broken up to first semester, second semester. Level 2 is broken up first semester, second semester. So a student who is weak level 2, second semester, they're not meeting proficiency levels. Instead of going on to level 3, that next year they can drop in at the semester and gain what they didn't. And we've had some kids who just take 2 years at level 1 to become proficient. And if they're a good student, they're usually very grateful. And then they're so successful in levels 2 and 3.
Right.
And some students are okay with always being slightly behind the proficiency level. And they just continue up level 1, 2, and 3. And they always struggle.
Yeah. But they don't have to struggle. We try and give them the option to go back and become proficient before they move up. And I think that's a strength, too, to the department, I think.
Well, I'll go back a little ways where you talked about your common preps and prepping together, aligning perfectly with one another. Because Davin and I have always done it a little bit differently. Currently, we don't share students from semester to semester. Now it's just at the end of the year. But we had kind of a different approach. We would collaborate. It was really nice when we were in rooms right next to each other and we had a common prep, and I'd go to his room or he'd come to my room or whatever and just talk about what's going on.
The proximity gives you more of a sense of closeness.
Mm-hmm. Big time.
It is fun for them to hear different accents. And I remember once years ago, I said, Javes. And the kids are like, what? That's not what Senora Cannell says. I'm like, okay, sorry. So yeah. I said, it's really good practice for you to hear all sorts of accents, you know? And so I think that's great too. We all speak and use different vocabulary and they're coming from, you know, Sergio and Gwen with different vocabulary a little bit, but then they learn double because you're like, you're right. Yeah, that's great. You know, so.
And we like to kind of play on the, you know, we've got China, we've got Colombia, we've got Chile, we've got Spain. We like to play on that. You know, whose class is what, you know, Chile, boo, España, Chile, España. And so building on those individual personalities is fun too. You don't have to be a mimic exactly what the other person does. Even though some of my students have said, Senora Kettle's nicer, she'll give that to me. She says, oh, well, she's deaf.
Too bad for you.
So with that will end our time with Gwen and Tawny. And again, we just want to say, thank you so much for taking the time, and we just recognize what a great job you do, and we're very appreciative of that work, and keep doing what you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks.
We've heard some good interviews from a few other departments that are very successful in our building, in our district, and I'm just curious to get some of your thoughts on the things that have made us strong, and maybe some of those things we'll coordinate with Corey and Kelsey or Gwen and Tawny's thoughts. So we'll begin with our most recent addition and work backwards. So we'll start with Brandon, followed by Miles and Davin, and then myself.
The baby. I'm the oldest one in my family, so this is a new sensation. But based on what Corey and Kelsey and Gwen and Tawny talked about, I would say that we share a lot of the same characteristics. I'll just share two things. One, we are involved with each other in our personal lives to some extent. When we do some fun things together. I mean, we've had a few dinner nights together, just casual things at Christmas time, other parts of the year. We even do fantasy football together. Somebody should look who's in first place right now. Anyway, I can't remember. Oh, I think it's me.
You kicked my butt this week.
Yeah. No, we just do fun things like that make it lighthearted and open up doors of communication, I think. Makes it easy for us to talk about what we're good at and what we're bad at. I think all of us would agree that there are things that we're not very good at and that there are things that we are good at. And I think that that's something that we've been able to do and to talk about. And I think especially this year, and perhaps even the podcast has facilitated that a little bit. I'm really grateful for that part of the podcast. So I would say, speaking to friendships and collaboration, like both interviews talked about, that we are on our way to being better at that. And that's really helped all of us come together and talk about where we can improve. And then we all improve. I would agree completely with the personal side of things to an extent, being friends first and being able to talk about things so that talking about uncomfortable topics is easier and we don't feel upset that someone's analyzing the way we do things. And I feel comfortable telling you guys what I'm good at, what I'm not good at. I think that's part of what makes us a good department.
Miles, what do you think?
I try not to let too many of my thoughts out because sometimes it's scurry.
We appreciate that.
Yeah, you're welcome. No, again, to echo what has been said already, the friendship side of things. The last episode, Dan Lemke asked if we should be friends with our students, and yes and no kind of a thing. But I think same for teachers. You need to, with your colleagues, you need to have some kind of a friendship and interaction aside from a professional interaction just to be more comfortable around people. And then from a professional side of things, like Brandon just said, with the podcast, I think it does help where we're always trying to talk to each other, it feels like, about proficiency and about what's best for our students and what can we do to improve. And I remember in my first year and second year, it's only my third year, not like it's been a long time, I had questions probably every day. I was very grateful, like Gwen and Tawny talked about, to have a prep the same period as Roger, who knew everything. Or at least I thought he did. I've learned now. No, he knows a lot, and at least he's willing to talk through my ideas. I had ideas all the time, like, what about this? Just different things. I appreciate that. The possibility I have, the availability I have to talk to everybody on this, in this department about different ideas and to collaborate. And a really quick example, because I love this example. Just yesterday, at a training for the district, Davin mentioned, I think it was yesterday, during lunch, how he's going to do a swear word of the day, where we teach our students how to swear in the foreign language. Oh, wait, no, that's not it. But a swear word of the day where during that class period, they can't use a word like because, or they can't use a word like amusing or fun, to force them to use other things. And I ran with that. I've already printed out a page and I've got it on my board, and each one of my classes, I'm telling them about this swear word of the day. Just that collaboration and being able to steal and borrow ideas from each other, I think it's fantastic, because I mean I've never worked anywhere else, so I can't attest to how it is, but I'd like to think that we've got something special here. I wasn't really inquiring. The sun was in my eyes.
I was just gonna say, with you thinking that I knew everything, what a fool you were.
Yeah.
And now look where it's gotten you. Nothing but trouble, I tells you.
You betcha, sweet bippy.
All right. Thank you, Miles. Now we'll turn to Davin.
Having a proficiency, a unity when it comes to proficiency and can-do statements, what we want our students to accomplish, that's all universal for us. We're all on the same page, and we've had discussions about what that looks like. And sometimes we have varying opinions, and each of us tries to do things a little differently, and then we report back. That collaboration is really, really significant and almost necessary. If you really want a strong department, I would say for me, when I look at some of the best friends I've ever had in my life were people that I've worked with in the past at grocery stores, different jobs I had while in college, things like that. I just developed really strong relationships with them because we got to know each other, and we hung out outside of work hours, whether watching games or just going to community events, dinners, things like that. It helps break the barrier of professional all the time. And I think about when we first started here, I was in one hall. Roger was downstairs in another hall. The French teacher at the time was halftime, so she was only here every other day. Chinese teacher as well. I think she was halftime that year, wasn't she? Mm-hmm. And the German teacher also, he was full-time, but he was in a completely different hall than all of us and rarely ever saw him. I just remember that first year, making it through the year. And Roger and I, obviously, we both teach Spanish, so we collaborated quite a bit. And I remember towards the end of the year thinking like, well, we need more camaraderie. We need more just relaxed conversation. So I remember going to Roger and saying, hey, on the last day of school, let's just get pizzas and have lunch together. Kind of ever since then, we just started doing, let's do a Christmas family thing or bring your families. We'll do Christmas. And this last year, we watched some jazz games, and we just kind of built from there. Because for me, it's great to be professional, and you have to be, and you have to talk about the students and where you're supposed to go. But at the same time, there comes a level of trust and confidence when everybody knows who you are personally in your home life and your thoughts and your dreams and everything else that's going on. It just helps everybody support each other, regardless of if it's school related, like work related, or if it's home related. And I think we all do that really well. There's a lot of factors that just happen by just how we were hired. We're all roughly in the same age group. We all have a lot of similar interests. When it comes to the Seinfeld quotes, I get a little lost because I haven't followed that very much. But
amateur.
Yeah. I just
phony.
Stick to the basics. So, but for the most part, I just think about the strongest relationships I've ever had were with people that I worked with. So I thought I'd do that, try to do that here and develop strong relationships. And now I'm sick of everybody, so we're done. But
it is cold and flu season, so
it is. Well, thank you everybody for your thoughts, and I guess I'll just wrap up this portion. I have a few thoughts of things that make us strong as a group, but I think I'll start back to the end of my first year. Ben Hill told me that we were getting a new Spanish teacher, that he was new to the area, didn't grow up around here, didn't go to school around here, went to Utah State. And was going to need to get to know some things. And so I just remember when we met and found out kind of where each other were living, it turned out that Davin and his wife had moved in literally just around the corner from my wife and I. So it was easy and natural for us to reach out to them and try to have some nights together, some game nights, have dinner, whatever it was, just to try and help them feel a little more at home. And can't get the guy away from me since. Still just lives like 30 seconds away. So when I heard that we were getting another Spanish teacher, full-time Spanish teacher, I thought, I do not want this person to have to go through what I went through. And so when it was time to fill out our schedules for the following year, I thought, I'm going to take as many levels as I can and leave them with just one or two, because that's all I would have wanted. And so I gave Davin all of the level twos and all but one of the level ones. I'm taking a pretty big burden off of him. So I'm going to take the level ones because they're fun and easy to teach. I did that and just tried to really be a shoulder to lean on for Davin, because what we've seen in our career is that Davin has gone through like exactly the same emotions, professional type, frustrations, successes, everything that I have just 1 year later. So it's been really nice to be able to see that. And then seeing that whole experience followed through the year after me. Then Miles came along and we could see the exact same thing in Miles. And we both just laughed a lot and tried to be a help and a support to Miles.
Mm-hmm. Laugh behind my back.
Yeah, we did quite a bit. Brandon came in, he just hit the ground running. He was solid as could be.
Spent most of the time under his desk, though.
Just cover it up well. Internalize it.
But the other things I want to touch on real quick that I feel have made us a strong department is, first, everyone in our entire department is focused on sticking to the district and the ACTFL standards and proficiency. That's everyone's end goal, is just to do what we've been asked. And then aside from that, I think that everyone just is very willing to try new things. Everyone's willing to fail and fall on their face. We're all willing to share the load and the credit. I think everybody's more than happy to dish off the credit to someone else. And I think that says a lot about all of you and all of us. And I think we're also very data-driven, which is a key component to every industry in the world. If you're not data-driven, you're nothing. You're being left behind, really. And by data-driven, I mean having common, or if not common, very similar assessments that we've done per unit, per semester, per year, and looking at the types of things that our kids are doing, where they're doing well, where they're not doing well, looking at that information and talking about and making changes, adaptations to our instruction to improve those things and to constantly try to be better. And just because we're hitting our marks in maybe writing, for example, it doesn't mean that we've found the eternal solution and that we're done and that we can't ever get any better. I think we're constantly looking to improve everything that we do and everything that our students do. And we do that by numbers, by assessments. Look at the assessment, see what the kids can do, where the gaps are, what the common mistakes or the common errors are within a class, within a level. And then taking that data and thinking, well, what can I do with what's coming up to fill in those gaps, to make those improvements? And I think that's just been a key component to everything that we do. I'm really grateful that we have a team that really is willing to do all of those things and does so with a smile on your faces. We will now talk to Susie Jensen, former principal of Clearfield High School and current director of human resources for Davis School District. Well, I'm very happy to be joined by Susie Jensen, former principal at Clearfield High School and current director of human resources for Davis School District. Susie, thanks for joining us today.
I'm glad to be here. Glad to be back home.
Yeah, it's good to be a Falcon. I'm just curious your thoughts, if you could kind of walk us through the process of hiring a teacher, that what you look for in a resume and an interview and anything else when you're hiring a new teacher and why you look for those things.
You know, we do a lot of research, you know, when we're looking for a new teacher. You know, that teacher has to be, obviously, content knowledge has to be strong. Personality, passion for teaching, passion for being with kids, innovative, you know, and actually we look a lot at their social media sites to see what kind of ethical person they are. We have very high expectations here at Clearfield, and when we hire people, we want the right people. We want those people that want to be here. That's very important, not just someone that wants a job but wants to be here at your school, regardless of what school that is. They want to be there, and they also need to be, you know, very well-rounded and complement a department with their strengths to help overcome any weaknesses that might be in that department.
Okay. When you're hiring, how do you weigh the departmental fit of this individual versus just collecting the greatest amount of talent or potential that you can?
You know, in a perfect hire, you would have both. You know, you look at that person and you can see that they're extremely competent in what they do. They have had a lot of experience, a lot of education. And they're also a team player and willing to, you know, one of the questions we ask is, what can you offer an already existing department? These are the types of things that we're doing in the department. What can you add to that? Or what are some unique ideas that you have that would augment an already strong department? And so really, if you can have equal amounts of both, that's your perfect candidate.
Yeah. I'm also curious, what things, if any, are unique to hiring world language teachers as opposed to a math, a science, or some other content area teacher?
Well, you know, you think about it, and when I was in school, you know, my language teacher, I took French, and we focused mainly on just articulating words and grammar and repetition, and none of it was really using it in a real-life application. And I think nowadays that's what we need. We need our teachers to not only know the language well, but show evidence that the students are able to use the language and use their language skills. Daily application is great, you know, not just repetition and does it sound like the language, but can they actually speak it and can they communicate with someone that maybe came from that country and also they're very knowledgeable in the culture. So they know when they get into that area, are they able to speak and communicate effectively?
Okay, great. One final question for you. I'm just curious your thoughts from an administrative perspective. How do you define a strong department, and what are some common traits that you've seen amongst the departments that you've experienced throughout your life?
You know, I actually have a little bit of a list here because that's a really big one with me, because in order for any department to be considered a strong department, there are several aspects of being a strong department. And I've written some of those down. You know, you have to create positive relationships among each other and students and parents and other colleagues throughout the school. You have to have those strong, positive relationships. You also have to be a forward thinker and very collaborative. And you have to be willing to take risks. You have to take the risks of being questioned about things and not feeling intimidated by that or offended by that, that you're willing to put yourself out there and say, what do you think about this? Do you think this is a good idea? And also be willing to give criticism, accept criticism effectively. Also, in order to maintain a healthy work environment, I really think you need to be friends outside of work. Like, you enjoy each other's company outside of the 8 hours that you're teaching kids, that you're just not working with somebody, but you get to know them. You spend a lot of time together and, you know, you focus on internal communication, but you honor confidentiality that has to be made. And I think those components all together create a very, very strong, what we call a strong department. And when you have that, every student that is involved with that department succeeds. That's what we've seen. Their attitude is better. Their test scores are better. Their knowledge base is more solid because all of those things have to come into place. It isn't just about the 90 minutes in the class.
That's a very articulate response. And it's funny because I think literally everything that you listed are things that we talked about either off air or when we were recording, because those are the things that we've really valued and the things that we think have made us a strong department, the friendships outside, the willing to take chances.
Gwen and Tawny from Syracuse Junior and Kelsey and Corey all mentioned pretty much the same things.
So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about it and being in education for as long as I have, you know, being a teacher and a coach and then an administrator, you know, you're always in different scenarios and you can always tell when you have that bond with each other, how much stronger you are as a force. And, you know, there's a lot of pressure on teachers nowadays. And if you can't have someone to share that pressure with, then you're not going to be successful yourself. But you have to be willing to share that and you have to be willing to give advice and take advice. And so there are a lot of components into making a strong department. But I have to tell you, and it's not just because I'm on air, because you guys know me and you know how pretty straightforward I am, but I have to tell you, this foreign language department is the best, not probably, but the best that I've ever worked with in over 3 decades that I've been in education.
That's very kind of you.
I think you guys are doing a wonderful job, and I think what you do is a perfect model for the rest of the departments, let alone foreign language departments across the district and the state, but in schools in every department. You know, if they could watch and see what you do and kids pick up on that, you know, you have a passion for what you do, you do it right. Kids respond and you get along with each other. There's no competition between each other and you're always thinking forward. You're always looking at innovation because the kids that we teach today are not the same kids as we had yesterday.
Right.
And they're changing on a daily basis. And you guys have done a great job keeping up with that. And that's a tough thing to do because some things are not moving as quickly. You know, they're outdated, like our technology and some of the things that we use for you to be able to do that. But you guys have done a phenomenal job and really are a model for other schools, districts, and departments.
Well, thank you.
We'll be sure to edit that whole part out.
Oh, no, you better not. Yeah. That's the real
Stay
me.
Humble.
I'm saying it like it is.
Well, thank you so much, Susie. It's been just a pleasure to have you back here and see your face in our halls again.
I love this school. I love the people who work in it. I love the kids. I miss the kids a lot. And like I say, I was excited to do this because, you know, whatever you guys do is pretty incredible. So to be a part of it is an honor. So I wish you the best of luck the rest of the year.
Great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. In closing, we'd like to thank Corey Wood, Kelsey Flint, Gwen Cannell, Tawny Johnson, and Susie Jensen for joining us. We've listened to comments from teachers in other departments, teachers at other schools, as well as administration about traits that make departments strong. And before we sign off, we just would like to close with a challenge. To get to know your department a little bit better, put yourself out there, maybe go out for some departmental tattoos, or just get together for a jazz game or dinner. And with that, I'll say hasta luego.
Adios.
Auf Wiedersehen.
A plus.
If you have any questions or comments on this or any previous episode, please go to lulpodcast.com and leave those questions or comments under the appropriate episode. Also, check out next week's topic,
split-level classes, and leave any questions or concerns you would like us to address. And thanks for getting down with Level Up.
Judging by his height, he's had a lot of pressure.
A lot. It's not easy.
What's getting you down? Genetics.
That's why I married a taller girl. No.
They're all taller. What do you
think? Boom, roasted.